I'm going to start by asking you a question. And that question is, if someone were to ask you who the Apostle Paul is, could you answer that without taking 20 minutes to try to answer it? Who was the Apostle Paul? Well, we just went through Acts, and that kind of described Paul quite well. And we look at what he was all about, and we learned a lot. But now we're going into Timothy, and Tucker hit on who Timothy actually was and is, and the relationship between Paul and Timothy. And that helps a lot to be able to understand what these people back then were actually living for and how they went about their life. And the commission that Jesus gave to the disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel wasn't a lightly taken decree. And I guess we look at ourselves as disciples because we follow Christ and we are disciples of Christ. So that same commission is given to us. And Paul was given the responsibility to talk to these young, in Timothy's case, pastors, preachers, to know how to handle people and the situations that they are going to face in their faith. Do we have an individual in our life that could help guide us as to what and how to live? I mean, yes, we have the Holy Spirit. That's the most important one that we can have. But do we have a person here? I mean, I think like me and Terry Jo, does she have somebody? Do I have somebody that I can turn to say, this is what I'm struggling with? You know what? The thing that really hit me when I thought about that was you. This is, I mean, I want to say you're all I've got. And it counts. It makes a difference. Because I don't think there's anybody here that if I called you, if you leave your phone on during the night, even in the middle of the night, and said, I got a problem, and I need you to give me a little insight or help me or pray for me or something. Not one of you would probably say, darn it, why'd he call me? And that makes a difference. Paul, Timothy, they were those people. They were those people that that knew them learned to trust them. Trust them with their spirituality and with their life, basically. Because who did Paul and Timothy represent? Jesus. I would hope, this is just the preliminary part of this today, but I would hope that each of us can be known as a person that can be trusted and called on when other people need a spiritual or a personal touch from someone else. I hope we can do that. That should be our prayer. Why do we need laws? You hit on that quite well today. I think that I don't even need to cover it. But what is the purpose of law? According to the Judicial Learning Center, law is a crucial system that allows human society to function in a manner that is as safe, fair, and profitable for for as many people as possible. Obeying the law is not only beneficial to society as a whole, but it allows individuals to reap the protections of living in an orderly environment. The rule of law is designed to bond members of a society together and to serve as a protection for their collective and individual rights. Laws prevent leaders from exerting corrupt influence over their followers and ensure that neighbors deal with one another fairly. Without the rule of law, there would be no organized way to protect an individual's right to his or her own property and possessions. Fordham University traces law, and I like this part of this, traces law and order back to the Code of Hammurabi, an ancient Babylonian codex that connected, this is what was interesting, certain basic laws to a mandate from the gods. Do most societies consider that through history there's gods, at least some or one, you know, they knew there was a power. And that it was interesting that hit on that. Since that time, the perception of law has evolved into one of a basic human right that offers protection and dignity to the members of any group governed by it. When individuals fail to obey the law, they are removed from society until they can pay the debt accrued by violating its basic standards. It's not happening all the time now, but that's what our hope is. That's the purpose of the law. So we know that mankind, America, United States, Michigan, Muskegon, we all have laws. Why do we need those laws? This is the question. Why do we need those laws? Shout out some answers. I mean, why do we need?
There'd be chaos.
It'd be chaos because?
We need order.
Because
we're sinful people.
What? Say it.
We're sinful people.
There it is. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need laws because we're sinful. And ask most people, and they're not going to say that. They're not going to say, we need these laws that we have in the United States because people are sinful. They'll say, we have these laws to protect me from you. She hit on driving too fast. Who of us haven't done that? But I mean, it makes sense. It's a good law. Because if I decide to go down Henry Street at 100 miles an hour, that's endangering people's lives. So that's a good law too, you know. But the law is meant by society to protect people. What was the purpose of God's law? Once we understand the reason we need laws, then we can begin to understand why we need a Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to read some verses. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all have sinned. No one is righteous. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. We need to understand that first and foremost. I am not capable of doing good, not in myself. Man shows that and proves it through history, that when he's left on his own to do what he wants to do, it turns bad. And I think, personally, that Jesus nailed that statement really well when he said, the love of money or greed is the root of all evil. I want what I want. I don't care about you, and I don't care about what you want. I want what I want, no matter what. That's what we are. That's who we are. And we need something to help us to change from that. God understood that. Romans 4:13 and 15 through 15. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offsprings received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known that coveting really was, what coveting really was, if the law had not said, you shall not covet. God had a plan. God told Moses, get up on the mountain, and I'm going to give you a list of laws. Can you go through the Ten Commandments and list those laws in your mind and say, not one of them was a good law? If everybody lived by the Ten Commandments, what a world we'd have. But because people don't, God gave the Jewish nation, the Israel of Israel, thousands, literally thousands of laws to live by. I think it even came down to drinking, eating, sleeping. I mean, all of it was covered because God knew that man was evil. God gave the law to show man that he was broken and couldn't meet God's standard, and to make man conscious of sin. You want to know why you need me? God said. I'll tell you, and you'll understand. 1 Timothy 1:8-20. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the holy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine of the Scriptures. That conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. Paul, he thought quite highly of himself, didn't he? God made me the one. No, not at all. Because we'll see in a little bit what Paul actually thought about himself. Did the law bring about freedom? That's a big question. Does the law bring about freedom? Or did the law bring about bondage? Oh, I gotta follow these laws. How do you think about the law? Do the laws bring about bondage for you? Does the law say, don't covet what your neighbor has? Does the law say, honor your father and your mother? The law is extensive in the things that could be classified as bondage, because I don't want to do that. Why wouldn't I want to do that? Because I'm a sinner. I'm broken. And God knows that better than anybody. Psalm 19:7-12. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the law are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. For they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So the servant, by those precepts that God gave, is warned. Why is that a warning? A warning about what? If you do what you want to do, you're going to pay the consequences. But in keeping them, there is great reward. James 1:25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives, what? Freedom, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So, God's law and man's law are two different things. The purpose of the laws are totally opposite. God's law says you need to do these things because you're a sinner. Man's law says you need to do these things to protect us from you. Wow. Think of those differences and why God's law is so different from man's law. Because God is truth. He knows the future. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your soul. He knows everything about you. He's omniscient. And God said, you need my rules, my laws to live by so that we can have fellowship. And the more you do and follow the things that I have given you to do, the precepts that I've written in Scripture, the more fellowship we're going to have, and the sweeter it's going to be. I said to Lori, I said, I think this is a really good time to call this Paul's autobiography. He wrote it himself, but let's read Paul's autobiography. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, although along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. This is who Paul thought he was. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. You ever say that about yourself? Not very often. Pride goes before the fall, I think they say, but I'm not good. I am not a good person. And when people say, oh, you do so good at this and you're so wonderful and you did this really great, we have a tendency to say, yeah, I did pretty good. You know, that's pretty nice. But in reality, it's God, thank you for the abilities that you've given me to serve you and to serve others so that they can see you in me. But for that reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example of those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. What could describe Paul's life better than this? Wow. Gives us a deep insight into why God chose Paul. Isn't it interesting sometimes how God takes the worst and turns them into a great, great vessel to serve him? Other people knew who Paul was. He murdered Christians. He was violent. He was hateful. He was an evil man. Paul said, I'm the worst of the sinners. But God chose me just like he chose us as a sinner in this world to show the world what he's capable of doing in us. Do people see Jesus in us every day? That's the question we should ask. It also provides confidence that what Paul said was true. Because he knew it, he realized it, he understood it. God picked him, and he has the proof. I mean, good grief, how many people were knocked off their horse, blinded, and the voice came out of the heavens that said, why do you persecute me, Paul? And God chose Paul to be the greatest messenger of his words. People saw that. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. 1 Timothy 4:14 is a reference to that, the prophecies once made about you. Do not neglect your gift. This is in a couple weeks. I don't know who's got chapter 4, but I'm blowing your horn a little bit. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. There's another verse, it's out of Peter. There's no prophecy of Scripture that came about by the prophet's own interpretation. But prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, not under their own power. Scripture was all written, and that's called prophecy, okay? So when we see that word prophecy described about keeping with the prophecies once made about you, it's the writings that were made about people that were coming on the scene, especially Timothy, that were going to serve Christ. Those prophecies, and Timothy remembered that because they laid hands on him, the disciples did, and he was going out as a messenger, just like Paul. Holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander. Two things here, faith and a good conscience. Holding on to faith and a good conscience. What's faith? Help me. What's faith?
Believing in something you can't see.
Excellent. Hebrews 11:1 always comes to my mind. It's the ability to, just what she just said. I don't see it, but I believe it. That's faith. What's a good conscience? You go to bed at night. How do you have a good conscience? What gives you a good conscience?
Doing what is right.
Doing what is right. Knowing that at the end of the day, I can I can lay my head on the pillow before God and say, Jesus, I have given you my all. And in my power, I've given everything I can, but it's your power that's helped me to do the things that are right in this life. And he made that very explicit to Timothy. Paul said, Timothy, keep that. Keep it and hold it in the forefront, because you need to have faith and a good conscience. Because then you go to bed and sleep like a baby. Well, not like a baby, but a person with a good conscience. Hymenaeus and Alexander were proponents of antinomianism. And that basically says that anti is, it's against, and nominianism is God. It's the things that God wants. So they were kind of against that. It's the belief that Christian morality was not required. They put away and thrust from them faith and a good conscience. They willfully abandoned the great central facts regarding Christ, and so they made shipwreck concerning the faith. And what's a shipwreck? Everybody knows what a shipwreck is. When you're in a ship, are you able to save yourself if there's a shipwreck? It's kind of difficult because you're a long ways from shore and you're in a shipwreck. Most people get a little bit concerned about that. And if you are told that you're going to be in a shipwreck, you're going to get on that ship? I'm not. But that's what Paul's warning Timothy of. These two guys have brought their faith to a shipwreck. They can't do anything about it. They're caught. They're out there and they're teaching the wrong things and they're caught. And they're basically doomed. And that next statement that he makes shows that. They made shipwreck concerning the faith, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught, not to blaspheme. Not to blaspheme. I thought this was on, but so not to blaspheme. When he talks about blasphemy, that's saying what God wants isn't right. It's not good. Don't worry about it. You're okay. They were supposed to be believers. They're not okay. So I look at that and say, all right, everybody, you're going to be taught not to blaspheme? You're going to be handed over to Satan because you're hopeless? Not me. I don't want that. And we live in a world that teaches us to do that. We've just had this, we never have political conversations at our house, but we had a little political conversation, I think it was because of this, today, this morning. And I look at that and say, 30 years ago, we had Democrats and Republicans and a few other little parties in between. But one's called liberal and one's called conservative. The liberal side, I always compare to people without rules. They want to do what they want to do. The conservative side always looked at as people that had rules. And they wanted to try to keep them and do the right thing. Well, 30 years ago, this is the conservative side, and this was the liberal side. But then, even though conservatives were conservatives, through the years, it starts moving up the other side of center because, yeah, abortion's all right. Oh, yeah, this is okay. Oh, we can do this. So pretty soon, that amount of people on this side has grown little compared to this side, which has grown big. The reason for that? We're sinners. Paul conveyed that message to Timothy very well. And that's the story you have to tell, Timothy, and stick to it. Don't sway. Stick to it. God's word is the only truth that we need to know. And if you stick with God's truth, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You'll put your head on the pillow at night with a good conscience. What is the law that Christians follow? The Word of God. I love in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God and the Word was God. It goes on describing Jesus as the Word. And we follow the Word, Jesus. But you know what else is the Word? I don't have my Bible up here. Terry's got it there. But the Word is God's Word. That's the Word that Jesus wrote through the prophets. Jesus dictated that Word. And I know that because of Peter. Peter said that. They weren't under their own power. They were under the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, when they wrote those words. Scripture. How would anybody know what happened in Genesis 1 if Jesus didn't write it? So that's God's Word. God's Word is the law that we live by, or supposed to live by. Read it. Study it, teach it, and above all, live by it and die by it. This is true freedom. You want freedom? We've been through the last couple years just nightmarish situations that are brought on by other people. And I have to honestly say, God, we can look back through our life the way He led her away from working for a big company to being on her own. Me doing what I do, I'm on my own. I didn't have a thing to worry about. And we didn't worry. We did not worry. God had this. He took care of us well. And we had peace. We had peace. We had freedom because we were living in God's law. Jesus, you have given us so much freedom through your words. The scripture is just so full of everything that we need to keep us. Thank you for your promises, for all the ways that you meet our needs, for just helping us through every day, and help us to be able to live that life so that when we do put our head on the pillow at night, we can have a clear conscience. Thank you, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And one last verse, and I'll say this, one last verse. For He has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, the Scripture, who called us by His own glory and goodness.